I don't think they have been. I mean, to be honest, I've been quite weirded out by, firstly, a huge number of people emailing and Twittering me, assuming that this is a health scare. And in my mind, that kind of just demonstrates the extent to which the media has absolutely no credibility anymore on issues of medicine and science. But the other thing that's been weird is lots and lots and lots of people from mainstream media have been asking me the same thing. So, you know, I had the guy from, I mean, nothing dramatic, but, sort of, you know, the guy from BBC Wales was saying, oh, will you come on our breakfast show and talk about how it's all a scare story? And I said, well, you know, it's not all a scare story, and I know you have this sort of slavish thing about on the one hand and on the other. And he said, well, what about, because, you know, maybe it could be a scare story like SARS and bird flu. And I got the same thing off, I mean, Simon Jenkins effectively says the same thing in The Guardian. And it's weird. It demonstrates to me an inability to kind of think around the notion of risk. It shows our inability to cope with uncertainty, because SARS and bird flu were risks. The fact that they were risks that weren't realised doesn't change the fact that they were risks.
I mean, Simon Jenkins in his column says that the risk of catching swine flu must be millions to one. I mean, isn't that true?
The thing about infectious diseases epidemiology is it's very, very difficult to make good predictions. The error margins on the predictions that you make with infectious diseases epidemiology are incredibly wide. So when people say up to 120 million people, they mean what they say, you know. And I've been hoping that somebody will give me an example of a newspaper getting stuff wrong. Sure, they've used sort of slightly histrionic pantomime and theatre in the language and the headlines, but it is true to say that up to 120 million will die. And of course, I mean, it's not the example that he uses, but the example I use, I suppose, is Chagas disease. You know, of course, there are other things that are killers in the world that aren't getting as much attention right now, but this is new, and, you know, it could kick off. People, pandemics happen, and they are frightening. 20 million people died in the Spanish flu epidemic after World War One, and that's three times as many as died in World War One. I mean, it makes a mockery, really, of morality, really. You know, it's a huge biblical meaningless death, and it does happen, and it's weird to me that people kind of want to say that it won't.
And yet, you know, Simon Jenkins scorns the travel advice coming from the EU and the British government not to travel to Mexico unless it's urgent, because he says it would make more sense to warn against the American crime rate. I mean, hasn't he got a point there?
With all risks, there's a question of how do we put this in context. And I suppose you could say there are risks that people already know about, and so they've already made decisions about. And perhaps they've made irrational judgments about the risks that they're willing to tolerate. So, you know, I'm happy to drive a car occasionally, although I know that for a bloke my age, it's probably the most common cause of death is, you know, car crash and violence. And yet, you know, I'll wander around central London a bit drunk and I'll drive a car. So I'm already exposing myself, it's true to say, to the biggest risks that I'm exposed to. But you know, I'm still interested in risk information on new stuff. I'm still interested in the notion that there might be pandemic flu even if it doesn't kill me, and even if it doesn't kill people in my country. I mean, it's still an interesting story. I'm not sure that it has to be about whether I myself will die.